It's Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, horror. Later on, it's Quiet Please from 1949, but first, Inner Sanctum, an ABC and Armed Forces radio broadcast called Auntie Ellen from March 5th, 1951.
Good evening, friends of the creaking door. This is your host to welcome you into the inner sanctum for another visit with your favorite characters. We're back again with a familiar subject, murder. Ever want to find out how scared you can get? Well, suppose you hang around for a while. And when the show's over, I'll cut you down. All right. Suppose we get down to brass tacks. And I do mean the ones that go around the edge of a coffin. In a tiny cottage lost in a wild, desolate section of rural New England, Ellen Richards sits in a chair, listening. Approaching 60, white-haired, with eyes that dance nervously in the firelight, she listens. She hears the winds weeping and moaning, grim heralds of the bleak winter. But she listens for something else.
Gregory! Is it you? Where are you? Upstairs? Gregory? Oh, it's nonsense, that's all. It's nonsense. It's just because I'm alone. Gregory! You wouldn't do this to me if I weren't alone. Hello, operator. Hello, what's the matter with you?
Number, please.
Hello, operator. I want you to ring my nephew, Leslie Richards. Tell him to come home at once.
Number, please.
My nephew, Leslie, I told you. What's the matter with you? Don't you understand? You must hurry.
I beg your pardon. What number do you wish to call?
Number? Oh, he's in town somewhere. The depot. Call him at the depot. Oh, don't you understand? I hear the boots. Those heavy, hobnail boots. And the cane tapping. It's my husband. He's coming up out of the cellar step by step, and he's been dead for 5 years. And now he's on the landing, and now he's opening the door, and now...
Hello, Auntie.
Leslie, you darling boy. Oh, it's you. It's you, and not the other.
Really, Auntie, I don't quite understand.
You dear boy, you must forgive me. I'm hysterical. Just be patient with me. I'll be all right in a minute.
What's wrong? What happened?
Let me hold your hand. Oh, just knowing that you're here makes me feel better already. I thought I'd go out of my mind.
Oh, you poor darling. Now, if you'll only tell me what...
Wait a moment. Do you hear anything?
Just the wind?
That's all?
That's all.
Oh, Leslie, you mustn't leave me alone ever again. I simply can't bear to be alone.
But I just drove to the station to get Miss Morrow. Darling, you're in a terrible state. You really must sit down. I'll get you something.
No, I'll be all right. Where's Miss Morrow now?
She went through the side entrance in her room, I guess.
I think I'm going to discharge that girl.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. I feel she doesn't belong here. I don't like strangers about.
Really, Auntie, you're being silly. You can't bear being alone, and now you want to discharge your companion.
Well, you're here now.
But I can't be with you all the time.
Leslie.
But you almost never leave the house, and someone must go out to get things done once in a while.
Oh, yes, I suppose you're right.
And it won't do you a bit of harm to go out once in a while, too. The movies in town, or maybe New York for the theater.
No.
But, Ellen...
Don't you dare suggest that again. You must never suggest that again, do you hear?
But why? Why must you stay here locked up in this house?
Because ever since my husband disappeared, I vowed... Oh, What's the use? You wouldn't understand.
I think I would.
Oh, no, no. You're young and handsome and charming, and there's no use troubling you with all that. There. I feel ever so much better already. No, dear Leslie, you don't know what you've done for me.
Really?
It was horrible living here with just Miss Morrow until you were sweet enough to come and stay with a poor, lonely old lady. I know it must be trying for you.
It's really lots of fun. I'm having a fine time. And that talk of your being an old lady is just nonsense. Why, if Uncle Gregory were here and could see you now, he'd fall in love and marry you all over again.
Why do you say that?
Just to make you laugh.
Oh. Oh, you're very flattering.
See, you're laughing. That's better.
Leslie, you won't go away ever, will you?
What an idea.
You're my only living relative. I'll remember your kindness when I'm gone. You'll be wealthy. Very wealthy.
Here, now, what kind of talk is this when you're gone indeed? Why, we're going to have grand times here forever and ever. Now, you go to bed and sleep away all that foolishness. And here's a kiss for a pleasant dream.
Oh, you silly, silly boy. Well, say goodnight to Miss Morrow for me. I'm too tired to wait.
Good night. Barbara?
Come in.
Barbara.
Don't tell me about it. Don't say anything. Just kiss me and hold me tight.
Oh, dearest.
Oh, Leslie. I could hardly bring myself to come back here tonight. She's so hateful and cruel.
Barbara, don't. She may hear you.
I'm sorry, but how much more of this do you think I can stand? This house will drive me as mad as she is.
Please, dearest.
All right, all right. It all seems so senseless. You say you love me, and yet...
You know I haven't any money, but I'll get some. I'll get a great deal, and as soon as I do...
What I want to know is when. When?
Tonight, perhaps.
Gregory?
Heard you calling. What is it?
Listen. Do you hear it?
Yes.
Oh, thank heaven I'm not the only one.
What is it?
It's Gregory.
Oh, no, Annie.
I know it. That's the way he used to walk around the house, tapping with his cane.
No, that's nonsense.
But I know. I heard it before while I was alone. He's come back somehow. Oh, Leslie, he's come back.
Then why should he do this? If it's Uncle Gregory come back, why, he'd come right in the front door.
But don't you see, he can't. He's been dead these 5 years.
Dead? You told me he disappeared.
I know. I know. I didn't want to shock you. Oh, Leslie, how much can I trust you?
Trust me? Why, Auntie, you know there isn't anything I wouldn't do for you.
There. Listen. Where's it coming from?
The living room.
Give me my robe.
Here. But I don't see why you must get out of bed.
I must know about this. I can't leave this house, Leslie, and if he's here...
Why can't you leave it? You can sell it and go away.
You don't understand. Yes, the living room. We're going in there. I'm not afraid to face anything if you're with me. Now, come.
Very well.
Do you see anything?
There's nothing in the corridor.
But I can hear it. It's closer.
There's the living room. Not a soul there.
Not a soul?
Why'd you pick up that fireplace iron?
You'll know in a moment. Can you move the piano?
These old uprights are pretty heavy, but I think I can do it. There.
Get that little shovel from the fireplace. Hurry.
I must say, I don't understand. What are you doing there? What is it? Some kind of secret trapdoor in the floor you're trying to move with that iron?
Yes, it's the floorboard.
Oh, here, let me do it.
All right.
think I have it now. There's nothing but dirt under there.
Use the shovel.
Very well.
Leslie, I don't know if... Listen. The tapping stopped.
Yes.
Why?
Perhaps this is why. Perhaps he wanted me to find his body.
He's still there?
Look.
Gregory!
So that's why you never left this house, isn't it? He was lying here all this time. Lying here where you buried him. After you murdered him. Isn't that so, Auntie Ellen?
Yes, I killed him. Leslie, you mustn't tell anybody. I know you won't tell. Oh, it's been horrible living all these years with him right in the same house. I could never leave. Someone might find him, you see. And every time I heard a noise in the house, oh, it was frightful.
I should think so.
That's why I sent for you. I couldn't bear it alone. Now you know my secret, and you will help me.
Will I?
Of course, dear Leslie. I know you will, and won't you? Oh, it's Miss Morrow. Don't let her see.
Quite all right, Auntie Ellen. Come in, Barbara.
No, no, you can't.
I've heard everything, Mrs. Richards. And I know everything.
You know? You and Leslie. It was you who made those noises, that tapping. It didn't start until after you came.
Yes, Auntie Ellen.
You horrid boy. Why did you? How could you do this to me after everything I've done for you? I thought you loved me. I thought...
Sit down.
No, I will not. Leslie!
Sit down, I said. Barbara, get a checkbook.
Okay.
What are you going to do?
Dear Auntie Ellen, you are going to write a check for $50,000.
For you?
For me.
Here's the book and the pen.
I see it all now. What a fool I've been, taking the two of you into my home, and now you do this to me just to get my money.
You killed him for that money. You have no right to talk.
You made him do this. Leslie's a good boy. You found out about this, and you put him up to it. I'm going to call the police. You're a little thief.
You're a murderer, Auntie Ellen. You won't call any police. In fact, you'll tell no one. And you'll write that check now. Do you understand?
Leslie? Yes. You're quite right. I'm not in a very good position, am I? You've hurt me deeply, Leslie. After I trusted you. After I...
Leslie. What happened to her? What's the matter?
I don't know. She just stood up and collapsed. Auntie Ellen.
Is she dead?
No, she's still breathing. But she's paralyzed, stiff as a board. Barbara, call a doctor. I'll fix that floor and push the piano back.
Do you think it's safe?
Absolutely. She won't say a word if she comes out of this. And if she does tell about the check, who will believe her? It'll be our word against a murderer's. Come on, Barbara. We've got to get her well enough to write that check.
Mrs. Richards, if you can understand what I'm saying, blink your eyes. Ah, thank you.
Well, Dr. Walsh?
Well, I can't give you a final opinion yet, young man. She seems to know what we're saying.
Was it a stroke?
Possibly. We won't know until I can take some x-rays. It may be simple hysterical paralysis.
Doctor, I'd like to know if there's any danger.
Danger? Yes and no. Patients have sometimes lived for years after a stroke. I'm going to call in a specialist for consultation. And I'll be back in the morning with x-ray equipment. Meanwhile, don't move her from that chair.
Yes, Dr. Walsh. It was very kind of you to come so quickly.
Mrs. Richards is an old friend of mine. Call me at once if she seems to get worse.
I certainly will. Good night.
Good night.
Leslie.
Oh, rotten luck, isn't it? Just when we had... Hey, look. She seems to be smiling.
Be careful. She can understand everything you say.
I know. And let her. Let her. You won't get away with it, Auntie. We still have you, you know. The will. You forgot about that will. You can't make a new one now. You can't write. And we know your secret. Yes, Auntie, we still have you.
No, Leslie. She has us.
What are you talking about?
You heard what the doctor said. It may be years.
We can wait.
Can we? Wait here, taking care of her, waiting for her to die? Can you imagine what that'll be like? Well, maybe you can wait. I can't.
Barbara, you mustn't.
What's the use, Leslie? We waited all this time, and you see what happened. We're worse off than we were before.
Now, Barbara, you mustn't lose your head. There may be something we can do.
What can we do?
We can...
Yes, Leslie?
She got away with it. Why can't we?
Murder.
Yes. I've even thought of a plan.
Have you?
We can both be away, far away from here, in South America, perhaps, when this house can catch fire. An invalid unable to move, it can be arranged, you know.
Yes. Yes, it can be arranged. But are you sure of this will?
Certainly. She told me about it a dozen times.
Have you seen it?
No, but I know.
Maybe you can't believe what she tells you. You better look. We must be sure of all this.
You're quite right. I'm almost certain the will is in her room. I'll find it. You'll see that I'm right.
Did you say something, Mrs. Richards? I thought I heard you say something. Why are you looking at me that way? Mrs. Richards, I'm not afraid. I don't care if you heard everything. I'm not afraid of you anymore. You and your orders. Nothing I did was ever good enough for you, was it? Always telling me I was too common, too cheap for you. Well, I found out what you were tonight. And stop your staring at me. You want to know something, Mrs. Richards? He didn't figure this out himself. I was the one who was smart enough for that. I kept wondering why you never left this house, why your husband disappeared. And I told Leslie. You stop, you're staring at me!
Barbara, what is it? I heard you scream.
It's nothing. Nothing at all. Have you found it?
No, not yet, but it's around somewhere, I'm sure of it. Do you want it?
No, no.
I'll find it in a minute, I'm sure.
Mrs. Richards, your chair. Your chair has moved. You moved it while my back was turned while I was talking to Leslie, didn't you? Didn't you? The andiron from the fireplace. Was there a minute ago? Did you take it? Did you? Were near enough to rip... No! Don't!
Barbara! Barbara, I found it. She left me everything. Barbara, what happened to you? Auntie Ellen, where are you?
I'm standing behind you, Leslie.
What?
Don't move.
But Barbara...
She's dead. I killed her. I have the andiron here in my hand. Don't move.
Auntie, now please.
Stay on your knees. Just where you are.
Very well. If you wish. But...
You were very anxious to find out what happened to my husband. Now you shall know everything. In fact, you shall know precisely because the same thing is going to happen to you. You see, I used this very same instrument, this poker. You and she will share his grave.
It's all some silly joke, isn't it? You can't do this to me. You know that I love you.
Don't move.
But don't you see, Auntie? For heaven's sake, put that thing down. You don't know what you're doing. Don't!
Hello.
I'm sorry to disturb you, Dr. Walsh. This is Ellen Richards.
Ellen Richards?
I knew you'd be surprised, but I've fully recovered. You were quite right when you thought it was hysterical paralysis.
Well, I thought so all along, but naturally I wouldn't venture an opinion without an expert. But why did it happen?
Oh, it was a silly thing, I suppose. But my nephew, Leslie, told me he was going to marry Miss Morrow. In fact, they planned to elope.
And that was the shock that brought it on?
Yes, Dr. Walsh. I suppose I let myself care for my nephew more than I should.
Yes, I understand.
But I'm quite over it now. I sent them on with my blessing. They drove into New York, and they're sailing for South America in a few days. So you needn't come tomorrow evening.
All right, Ellen. But your nerves must be in bad shape. You better let me give you a checkup.
Very well, Doctor. I'll come to your house the day after tomorrow. Good night.
Good night.
Well, there, Ellen. That completes my checkup.
And what's the verdict?
You've got a constitution like iron. You'll live to at least 110. Oh, but, Ellen, you have to get out of your house.
No, now, don't go into that again, Dr. Walsh. When Gregory disappeared, I made up my mind I would never leave, and I mean to stick to that vow.
That's not what I meant, Ellen. Haven't you heard the news?
What news?
The new superhighway. It's going to be built right through your property. Your house is dead center of the roadway. They'll have to rip it down.
What? Well, they can't do it. I won't let them.
Well, there's no reason to be alarmed. You'll realize a handsome profit for your property.
When will these people be around? When are they coming?
Why, the surveyors are in the neighborhood now. They may be calling at your house today to examine the property, make an estimate of its value.
Today? Well, I must get back to the house immediately. I don't want them to come when I'm not there.
Well, oh, excuse me. Hello? Yes. Yes, one moment. It's for you, Ellen.
For me? Who is it?
Why, I believe the man said the state police. But what could they possibly want with you, Ellen?
Auntie Ellen's relatives and friends are now all stone cold dead in the parlor. She bashes nobody's head but her husband's, her nephew's, and his girlfriend. And we leave this electric personality while she's on her way to becoming a short circuit. Well, friends, it's time once again to close that creaking door. Until next week at the same time, when we'll be back with a little hunk of horror. You'll be sure to listen, won't you? Until next week, then. Good night. Pleasant dreams.
Inner Sanctum, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 5th of March, 1951, on ABC originally, then later transmitted via Armed Forces Radio. This is an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for a broadcast of Quiet Please, their seventh to last in a run of about 90 broadcasts for both the Mutual Broadcasting System and ABC Radio. This story called The Little Morning, from May 15th, 1949, on ABC.
Quiet Please. Quiet, please. The American Broadcasting Company presents Quiet, Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper, and which features Ernest Chappell. Quiet, Please, for today is called The Little Morning. Thank you very much for picking me up. I didn't thank you before. It's very good of you to pick me up.
That's all right.
I've been waiting there quite a while, there where the road turns off. It was cold standing there.
It gets cold at night here. Especially by the ocean there.
I was going to start walking. Couldn't remember where I was for a while. All I knew was I was cold. Then I was just about to start walking and you came along.
Long walk up over the canyon.
I never walked it before. Always drove in my car.
Long walk.
I guess it is.
Yeah.
Nice car you've got.
I like it.
I used to have a car.
Yeah?
Dodge convertible.
They're nice.
Yellow with white sidewall tires. Very pretty.
I used to have a yellow car.
Yeah, they're nice.
If you're cold, there's an old blanket there in the back.
No, I'm all right. Thanks.
Must have been quite a party.
Party?
Weren't you coming from a party?
Oh, no, not me. Oh, no party.
Thought maybe you were walking back from Malibu or something.
Oh, no.
Live over in the valley?
Me? No, Pacific Palisades. That's my home.
I used to know a fellow lived up there. Bolito Drive. Is that right?
Well, there's this Bolito Drive.
Right across from Arthur Lake. You know, Dagwood?
I know the place. Got a tennis court.
Boland, his name was. A radio fella.
Yeah, I know him. My place was kind of up above it. Napoli Drive.
I don't know it.
Lantana on the lawn. Purple flowers, you know.
Is that what they call them?
Yeah.
You in pictures?
I used to be.
Thought you looked kind of familiar. What's your name?
Scott.
Scott?
Francis Scott.
I don't recall the name. Funny. Does seem kind of familiar, though.
Thinking of Francis Scott Key wrote the Star Spangled Banner, maybe.
Oh, yeah, sure. Don't open the valley. I live in Woodland Hills, Crespi Street. I'll drop you off at the boulevard, though, if you want me to.
Oh, thanks. I'm not going that far. Thanks.
You know?
No, just up this side of the Topanga post office where old Topanga Canyon turns off.
I could take you down that way, I guess. Get back to the boulevard over Mulholland Drive. Come out by the actor's home up at Calabasas.
Oh, no thanks, really. This time of the morning, you want to get home?
It's all right.
Oh, thanks, really.
Well, okay. I work at Douglas Aircraft over in Santa Monica. Night shift.
Oh?
Drive over to Panger Canyon here 5 days a week this time of the morning. Know every turn.
That's so?
Except last year when we had the fire.
Oh. Oh, yes.
Worst fun we had in years. Worse since that one 4 or 5 years ago when the Woodland Hills Country Club burned down.
Yeah, I know.
I had to come over Santanella to Sepulveda, and then over Sepulveda to the valley, and then on out. Inconvenient.
I suppose.
A lot of beautiful homes burned up out here.
I remember.
Not here. Up farther toward Fernwood. Up toward the summit.
I remember.
You said you were going up toward Fernwood.
Yes, that's right.
Did you have a place up there?
No. A friend of mine did.
He get burned out?
She. Yes, she.
What?
She was killed. Oh.
Why, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Movie gal?
Yes. Yeah, she was in pictures.
What was her name?
Rosita. Rosita Sandoval.
Sandoval. I don't think I knew her.
No, I suppose you didn't. She wasn't very important. Except to me.
What?
We were going to be married.
Oh. Gee.
Today.
Gee.
My birthday.
Gee, that's really rough. Scott, did you say your name?
Scott, that's right.
Scott. Francis Scott. No, I guess not. I was thinking that. Say, that is tough. I'm awful sorry.
It's all right.
What'd you say?
I said it's all right. I'm going to see her.
I'm sorry, I thought.
No, I said I'm going to see her.
You. I.
She'll be waiting for me at the cabin. Don't you see? It's my birthday.
But you said she.
Down on Occidental Boulevard, right off Olympic. That's where I met Rosita. 2 months before my birthday last year. You've never been in a cartoon studio, I suppose, have you?
Like Mickey Mouse?
Rosita and I worked there. I was an animator at this studio. Rosita was a painter.
You said...
What?
Excuse me for interrupting.
Part of the studio where we worked was... Well, it still is. A long, low extension on the studio. We always called it a deck. Kind of like the deck of a ship. My office was next to the end, next to George's. And then was Arnold's office. Then Rosita's. The animators... Well, they don't usually have much to do with the inking and painting department. But I got to know Rosita.
I don't know much about cartoons.
It's not important. I was an animator, I said. I made the sketches for the action of the picture. Key sketches. And then the in-betweeners make the rest of them. Rosita painted cells.
I see.
The individual action drawings on celluloid.
Oh, that's the way you do it. I always wondered.
Yeah, that's the way.
Well, that's why I don't think I recognized your name or hers in pictures, see? Vaguely familiar, though.
Oh, I used to get my name on the credit cards at the beginning of the picture. You know, you've seen them. Story by George Gordon, animation by Arnold Gillespie, animation by me sometimes. Art direction by Bernice Politka.
Said your name, Francis Scott. Guess maybe that's where I saw it, on a title card.
Credit card.
Credit card, I mean. These cell painters don't get credit, is that it?
Hardly ever. Rosita used to talk about someday she was going to see her name on the screen. Art direction by Rosita Sandoval.
That's where I've seen your name, all right. On credit cards. You said you're... This Miss Sandoval, is it? She got burned to... She was in the fire up here in Topanga last year?
Yes. She died in it.
Tough.
I remember my birthday last year. With Rosita.
Are you warm enough? Gets cold along here this time of day.
No, I'm all right, thanks.
Got a half pint in the glove locker here if you...
Oh, no, thanks. Going to see Rosita in a little while, I wouldn't want to... You know.
Yeah. Going to see her. She, I mean, they bury her... I mean, up here in the canyon?
Beg pardon?
You mean you're going to, visit her grave?
Oh, no. No, I'm not going to visit her grave. No, I'm going to see her.
Well, you said she...
It's my birthday today.
I see.
It's starting to get light.
What?
I say it's starting to get light. It stays dark down here in the canyon, but the sky's getting lighter. Morning.
Oh. Yeah.
Sun will just be coming up when we get up to Topanga post office.
Yeah, just about. Daylight saving, it gets light an hour later.
Stays dark a long time down the canyon, though.
That's right. Say.
Hmm?
You said you were going to see her.
Yes, that's right.
But she...
I remember my birthday last year. First birthday Rosita and I had together. My birthday, I mean.
Is that so?
We went down to Alvera Street. You know, the Mexican street down in L.A., down by the old plaza.
She Mexican? I mean, was she Mexican?
Way back, several generations. You know how it is in Los Angeles. Mexican names, Sepulveda, Bandini, Carrillo.
Uh-huh.
I think they came from Guadalajara. You ever been down to Alvera Street?
Funny. I've lived here 12 years, ever since we moved out from Crookston, Minnesota. I've never been down there. Heard a lot about it, though. Funny. I've got a friend who lives in New York, 18 years. Never been to the Statue of Liberty. Right there in front of him, never been there. Like me.
No, Vera Street's a pleasant place. Like a street in old Mexico on a spring night. Mariachi singing songs, guitars. Singing Rancho Grande, I Jalisco, Cuatro Vidas.
Mexican songs.
Old Jose Herrera's candle shop. The wishing well where you throw pennies in and make a wish to come back. All the smells.
Yeah, I bet.
Oregano, chilies, and saffron.
Yeah, I like Mexican food, all right.
We went to La Golondrina.
A restaurant, huh?
Yeah, it's in the oldest place on Alvera Street. Built as a wine cellar when Alvera Street was just a ditch. Wonderful old place. Great food, atmosphere. Not a tourist trap at all. Moises, the waiter, sings for you. They dance the Harabi Tapatia.
Half dance? Yeah, I know. I've seen it over in Canoga Park.
Yeah, you ought to go there sometime. You married?
The wife and I don't get out much. Working nights, you know how it is.
Rosita and I went to La Golondrina that night. Night before my birthday. Stayed there till closing time. Then it was my birthday.
Fun.
Year ago this morning. It seems a million years ago, though.
I suppose.
All by ourselves in the corner opposite the bar, just the two of us. Place is practically all dark. We didn't even know what time it was. Just Rosita and me. Rosita didn't know it was my birthday. I hadn't told her. And I remember we've been sitting there a long time just looking at each other. Candlelight. Candles stuffed in wine bottles. Burning low and dropping tallow on the tablecloth. Perfume candles from Jose Herrera's Bavery. Not saying anything for the longest time. I remember the waiters whispering over in the corner up by the bar. I said, what are you going to give me for my birthday, Rosita?
Your birthday, Francis?
Sure. It is now. 3 o'clock in the morning of my birthday.
Oh, you didn't tell me it's your birthday.
I'm telling you now, honey.
Why didn't you tell me before?
Forgot it.
What do you want for your birthday?
You.
Why, sir.
No kidding, darling. How about it? Will you marry me?
Oh, you.
Be a nice birthday present. Will you?
We couldn't get married today.
We could stay up the rest of the night, then go over to the city hall and put in for a license and the examination and stuff. And in a couple of days, we...
3 days.
I can wait. If you'll say yes. On my birthday.
Your birthday?
May 15th, 1918.
Oh, you should have said so before.
Why?
They have sent Manuelitas for you.
Who?
The thing is here. Moises, Dehenia, and the others.
Well, what's Manuelitas?
The little morning.
You being Mexican now?
In Mexico, in the old days, they used to come to your window on the morning of your birthday and sing Las Mañanitas.
A song?
Yes, Senora Castilla de Bando's daughter is here a long, long time ago. When one of the guests had a birthday, the kids all come around your table in a little procession with lighted candles, and they sing to you. It's a sweet custom.
Gee, I wish I'd...
I wish you had, too. Lighted candles. And they blow them out at the right time in the song.
What right time?
The part that goes... Let me see now. Y el sereno de la cima me quisiera hacer favor y apagar su linternita mientras que pasa mi amor.
Beautiful.
And that's where they blow out the candles.
Why?
If the watchman at the corner wants to help me, he could try. Just blow out your little lantern when my sweetheart passes by.
It's wonderful, darling. You know it all?
Well, I've heard it all my life, every birthday.
Oh, sing it for me for my birthday.
Oh, no, not you.
Well, nobody will care. Go on, darling.
Well, it's really supposed to be sung to a girl.
I don't care. Sing it to me. And then I'll learn it and I'll sing it to you on your birthday. Rosita. Yo te amo.
Ay, querido. Yo te amo. Estas son las mañanitas que cantaba el rey David. Pero no eran tan bonitas como las cantan a ti. Sí, despierta, mi bien despierta, mira que ya amaneció. Que amanece, Rosita blanca de Jericó. Despierta, mi bien despierta, mira que ya amaneció. Ya los pajarillos cantan, la luna ya se metió. Qué bonita mañanita, como que quiere llover. Aquí está mal la mañana, cuando siente se arre. Che bonita mañanita.
Beautiful, beautiful morning.
Beautiful morning.
No, we didn't get married on my birthday. I've always regretted that.
You didn't get married at all?
No. The summer went on and we had so many plans to make, so many things to think of, so much to do. I've regretted it.
I know.
It's a beautiful song, that Mañanita.
Beautiful. I don't understand Spanish, but the tune's pretty.
All about the beautiful little morning and the birds singing, and the moon hiding its face. Yeah, like it is now. We made a little agreement, Rosita and I. Every year on my birthday, she'd sing Mañanitas to me. Every year, she said. So we'd remember that morning. Cuando tempe llegar air. When we began...
That was kind of a tough break, Francis.
Yes. Yes, it was. But today...
What's that thing?
What thing?
Flower?
Oh, this. Well, that's a Jericho rose.
What's a Jericho rose? I never heard of it.
Remember in the song... The part about Rosita Blanca de Jericho?
I don't understand Spanish.
We used to laugh about how the song was for us. Her name, you know, Rosita. Little Rose. Little White Rose of Jericho. The words were in the song all that time, and then Rosita, you see.
Very nice. For her grave?
Grave? Oh, no, not for her grave. For her.
Oh?
You don't know about the Jericho rose. See? Looks like a little ball of leaves. Spiky leaves. All wrapped up in a little ball.
Yeah.
When it blossoms, it's white. Little white rose.
This one's all dead now, like...
Well, it's not dead. It'll be all right. It'll live again. For Rosita.
Oh.
Has another name, the Jericho rose. Called a resurrection plant.
Oh, I guess maybe I've heard of that.
It blooms, comes from Syria originally. Blooms, then after a while it withers. You think it died. Dries up, curls up in a little ball like this. Stay that way for years. But you just put it in water. After a little while it uncurls. Comes right back to life, lives again. Just like it was.
That so? That's funny.
Rosita Blanca de Jericho.
That's what you called your girl.
Rosita. And we're pretty close now, aren't we?
A little way yet. You sure you don't want me to take you over on the boulevard? You can get some breakfast.
I've got to meet Rosita.
Uh-huh.
My birthday, remember?
I remember. How long that Jericho rose of yours been withered that way?
Since the 4th of November last year.
Why... That was the day of the fire, wasn't it?
It was on a Thursday, I remember. Rosita called me at the studio and she said she was going up to the place up here at Topanga to get some things and to lock the place up. Said the rains would be starting before long and there might be landslides up here and the roads might be closed. When it rained, she didn't like to drive up here on these twisty roads. thought maybe it'd rain soon.
Didn't rain for a long time last year.
That's right. But we didn't know that on the 4th of November. So she came up here all by herself. I didn't think anything of it. I was going to meet her at Eaton's there near Laurel Canyon, and we were going to a movie, see a preview of Norman Foster's new picture. Then I was going to take her home.
When did you hear about it?
About 4 o'clock. Arnold came into my coupe there on the deck. Arnold had a little radio in his room, and he said, "Say, Francis, there's a big fire up in Topanga Canyon." I said, "Is that so?" And he said, "Yes." "Gee," he said, "I hope Rosita's all right." "Oh," I said, "they have brush fires up there every year, you know."
"That's right. I remember one in 1938.
I said, "She's all right. She's out of there long ago." And he said, "Francis, I'm scared from what they're saying on the radio. The thing's getting out of control, and..." "Well, Rosita will call me," I said, "as soon as she knows about it, so I won't worry." He said, "I hope so." And he went back into his office. I was working on some minute movies, some commercial. After a while, I got a little bit worried. I got all mixed up on the drawings. So I went into Arnold's room and listened to the radio. George was there, and Chuck, and Rudy. We listened. It sounded pretty bad. Then John came over from the office, and he said, "That sounds like a bad fire up there in Topanga. Is Rosita all right?" Because he knew she'd gone up there in the morning. I said, "Oh, she'll be all right." And John said, "Well, I sure hope so." I saw Rudy shaking his head, and I said, "Oh, cut it out." I walked out. I couldn't help it. I walked right into the inking and painting department, and all the girls were kind of looking sideways at Rosita's drawing board. And I walked over and looked at it, too. This was on the board.
What?
This rose. This rose of Jericho. I'd glanced at it in the morning, and it was so pretty. Little white flower. Happy little white flower. And when I looked at it around 5 o'clock, it was all withered up. Like it is now.
What did you...
My heart just stopped. I couldn't think. It was like... It was terrible. I ran out and got into my car, and I drove out Olympic through the afternoon traffic. Just wonder I didn't hit somebody or get arrested. But I got on a shortcut I knew, and I went out Ventura about 70 miles an hour. County fire trucks were all over the place. I could see the smoke.
I remember.
When I got up to Topanga Canyon on a valley side, they stopped me. And I never did get up there. Then, they never found Rosita.
That's tough. That's tough.
I nearly lost my mind. Well, there's no use annoying you with a story. But it's all coming out all right this morning.
Look, I mean...
Sure, my birthday. Rosita said she'd sing Las Mañanitas to me on my birthday. Yeah, we're almost there. Right up ahead there, please.
Look, Francis, can't I drive you on to...
No, I'm going to meet Rosita.
Yeah, but I wish you'd...
Look!
What?
The Jericho Rose. See? It started to turn green again. It's opened up. See?
But what... I mean, how...
The water. I told you, remember?
What water?
Stop right here, will you?
Here?
Thanks.
Listen, fella, you don't really...
Of course. Thanks very much. Look at the rose.
Why, it's starting to bloom again.
Of course. The water, I told you.
Well, how did it get into the water?
The ocean down there where you picked me up.
Wait a minute. Now I know where I knew your name. I read about you in the paper last night. I read about you. I read how Francis Scott, age 31, of Pacific Palisades, California...
was drowned in the ocean off the foot of Topanga Canyon. Of course. How else could I possibly meet Rosita? You see? Rosita! Rosita! Rosita!
mañana, cuando empeña.
Today's Quiet Please story is The Little Morning. It was written and directed by Willis Cooper. The man who spoke to you was Ernest Chappell.
And Rosita was Betty Reike. The man was Merrill E. Jones. Music for Quiet Please is, as usual, played by Albert Berman. Now for a word about next week, here is our writer-director, Willis Cooper.
Thank you for listening to Quiet Please. This is the last broadcast of these stories at this time. Beginning next Saturday, May 21st, Quiet Please will be heard over your ABC station at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time. Saturday nights at 9 p.m. instead of Sunday afternoon. We hope you'll be with us to listen to the oldest man in the world.
And so until next week at the same time, I'm quietly yours, Ernest Chappell.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Quiet Please, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 15th of May, 1949, an ABC episode, bringing to a close this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.